It has been a long week, hasn't it? She talked about Charlottesville, Confederate monuments, concussions in football. Now we have a group of smart people with us to kick back, relax, take a breath, and think about what the heck happened this week. It is time for the break room.
This is what happened in the middle of the night there. While you were probably sleeping, crews removed four statues from parks in Baltimore.
1 week out of every month, we have an 18% premium for men, which is the same amount as the gender pay gap.
He does something in Guam. It will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea.
In the break room today, Kalina Baller, film location scout. She hosts the Credits podcast. Stefan Turkheimer is the editor of Georgia Poll. Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications. And Hector Fernandez of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State University. Welcome, everyone.
Good hey. Morning.
Morning.
Not much to talk about this week, is there?
Not really.
I don't even know why I'm here.
I looked back at what the news was just 3 weeks ago, and I was like, what? Has it only been 3 weeks? In any case, it's been a week since violence erupted at the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Thousands of white supremacists protest the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh had four Confederate monuments in her city removed quietly. That's after the city council voted unanimously to take them down. So here's Mayor Pugh on MSNBC.
At this particular point in time in our history, there's just too much protests, and I think what we have to begin to do in this nation is to heal and to show that we love and respect each other. These are salutes to the Confederacy. You know, this is the United States of America, and we ought to be united in purpose.
Okay, so should Georgia remove Confederate monuments and markers that are currently on public land? So let's set aside whether it's legal to do so, because it's not right now in Georgia, but should we?
Yes, all of them immediately, starting with Stone Mountain. We should sandblast the entire side of the mountain.
You want to sandblast Stone Mountain?
Absolutely. Return it to its natural condition as closely as possible.
I should mention that Stone Mountain just rejected a permit application from the KKK. They wanted to burn a cross on the mountain.
I disagree with that, at least as it applies to Stone Mountain. I think for the most part, Confederate monuments should be removed if the people do not want them. So, like, if you're in Savannah and Savannah doesn't want to have Confederate monuments, they should take them down. I think Stone Mountain is a slightly different situation because it's huge. Sandblasting, it's a real problem. I actually think the best thing to do is contextualize it. I mean, I think that shouldn't be this. Right now, it's like this memorial to the Confederacy, and it should be a memorial to the Civil War.
It should be a memorial to nature.
Well, it's never going to be a memorial
to nature. So you think
there
should be no statue,
No trace of humankind on the side of the mountain.
So you do you don't think there should be the thing on the top too? Just knock out. They have ice cream up there.
The thing on the I've said on the side of the mountain. I didn't say the top.
So the top should remain. The top should remain in its industrialized condition, but the side should go back to nature.
Sure.
Kalina and Natalie, you guys want to say.
Unless you want a burning cross on top of the mountain, which they applied for, right? And they were rejected.
Kalina.
Okay, look. Here's the deal, right? I believe that if it's on public property where everybody is paying taxes for these public parks and things like that, yes, remove these statues from the public eye. Put them in a museum. Put them on private land somewhere where someone who still wants to, you know, relive the Confederate glory days or whatever, they can go to those places. It's not going to be apparent and out for everybody to see. You know, I personally don't like going to Stone Mountain anymore. Once I learned what those guys were on the side of Stone Mountain, I have not gone there in years.
Have you seen the flags? Have you seen the flags at the very start of the walk?
Of course, and I have to go because
they fly different versions.
Now, I have to go because of my job. But personally, if I was like, oh, let me go to a park today, Stone Mountain is not a place I go because of that. Now, I have an appreciation for the artwork that is the relief carving on the side of Stone Mountain. You cannot remove and destroy that piece of art. No way. And unless there is some kind of way to completely and tactfully remove this and place it somewhere else, I am for that. But until we can do that, leave it there. But I personally, as a citizen of Georgia, will not frequent Stone Mountain anymore.
Yeah, I guess I see it as there are two options. If and it depends on context.
if there's a monument to a Confederate general who led a traitorous and evil cause in a park where my child's going to be playing or where other mothers' children are going to be playing, I don't want it there. And I agree with Kalina that the solution is to move it to the Atlanta History Center, someplace where it can be put in context.
Some of those statues are not art of value that a history museum might want.
Even so, it teaches us something about our history as Americans, because a lot of them were put up as a way to reinforce Jim Crow or as a way to spit back at civil rights progress. I'll give you one exception, though, and that is public land that is something like Gettysburg. I grew up near there. And I think it's appropriate to have the Confederate monuments in Gettysburg, and they are trying to contextualize them. My nephew just graduated from Gettysburg, and they're putting in a lot of plaques that explain when these things happened.
You're saying Gettysburg, right? The battle?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, why are you pronouncing it that way? That's like the most offensive thing we've had so far.
Oh, my God.
But I think
that's
not
nice.
I think
it wasn't.
Don't get me started on water.
Yeah, it wasn't entirely civil. I get that now.
But I think Stone Mountain is going to be the big Megillah for Georgia, because I feel the same way. I don't really want to take my daughter there, because
it's literally the face of it. You see it driving up. I mean, and then you see not only that, you have Confederate flags right when you enter the.
And
then the laser show has a Confederate. It's a
whole thing. At the end of the laser show, I haven't seen it.
I just want to translate.
The place has an image problem.
I just want to translate for those who don't know Yiddish. Megillah is like a long, really tedious story or argument.
Yeah, she's pronouncing it wrong, but that's
correct. Hey, yes. Polish Catholic, I do the best I can.
Okay, so obviously this is something on which people have not only strong opinions but differing opinions, so we want to hear from you. Call us at 404-500-9457 or tweet us, you know how to reach us, and let us know what you think. Let's move on to selfies, which should be less controversial. The Georgia Department of Economic Development offers a selfie tour now. You can take pictures of yourself in the locations where dozens of films were made, like Sack of Suds in Monticello, places that were seen in My Cousin Vinny, Juliet Park in Atlanta. You can spot some of the spots from Baby Driver and, of course, the Whistle Stop Cafe from Fried Green Tomatoes. That restaurant set the scene for this moment.
What we talking about is murder here. Running afoul of the law, and don't nobody get away with that. Not even a bunch of Alabama smart alecks. If I find so much as a half his head, I'll arrest you fast and you can slap a tick.
Speaking of colorful language, you can use this guide, or maybe Kalina Baller, you could just walk us around.
That's right, guys. Just come and see me.
Because you have all the time in the world to take people on selfie tours. Right. So I'm assuming, Kalina, you would not take this selfie tour.
It's my job. I would literally be leaving my job doing exactly that to then take selfies.
Yeah.
That said, I did not work on Stranger Things. I am a huge fan. It's one of the few shows I'm still like a fan of, that, and it's a local show. I would love to actually go and see that diner where Eleven like first ran away to, and the guy helped her out. I love that whole scene, all the scenes that were filmed there. I thought it was awesome. I was like, I gotta see that place. So Tony, who's the location manager on Stranger Things, you're listening out there, hey, let me know where that is. I'm gonna go stop by.
Would the rest of you go on this selfie tour?
I wouldn't bother with it, but it's a really cute idea. I mean, we're in a celebrity-driven culture, and I think pandering to it is a good thing for the Georgia economy. The one place I might want to go is some of the My Cousin Vinny stops, because I married into a family that regards that as like a sacred text. Oh. And I also think Marissa Tomei saying, oh, you blend, is like one of the best things. <Yeah. laughs>
I don't know that I would do these specific ones, but this got me the idea of recreating the chase scene from Baby Driver, which of course I will do on Facebook Live for anyone.
Oh my God.
Not going that fast.
Well, you have to do it that fast, Celeste.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
So we're alerting the cops now.
Well, I mean, if they can catch me. Look, here's the thing. You can't make the jumps unless you go that fast.
All right.
Okay, what kind of car do you drive?
For
just
safety.
For the cops that are listening?
It's not important. I'm
gonna not
and that license plate is?
Hector?
Nah, the only film that appeals to me is Baby Driver. At work at Georgia State, so I see the locations
see
every
time.
Single day. Mm-hmm. That said, selfies are annoying and overrated. It doesn't appeal to me at all.
Well, if any of our listeners are doing this selfie tour, we invite you to send us your selfies from these locations. You know how to get in touch with us. But let's move from selfies to Swifties. Taylor Swift, that is. If you could see. Okay, is it possible the singer adds another title to her resume? Feminist icon. She sued and won $1 in damages after a radio host groped her behind. Swift says she wanted the trial to serve as an example to other women. Is this more than a symbolic victory?
Okay, I think that her responses to cross-examination were fabulous and should be studied by
women.
They
were pretty enjoyable.
Let me give you one example. The lawyer was cross-examining her and said, you know, what about your bodyguard? Aren't you critical of your bodyguard for not stepping in? And she said, no, I'm critical of your client sticking his hand under my skirt and grabbing my bleep. That was the tone that she took. My favorite quote in this whole thing, she said, I am not going to allow your client to make me feel like it is in any way my fault because it isn't. And I love this tone, and I hope her fans will read her testimony and take it to heart.
I don't think she's a feminist icon for this move, necessarily. I wouldn't categorize her as that. However, on principle alone, this was a victory. I mean, and not just for women. For anybody. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, too. I mean, honestly, this is the first time I've ever talked about Taylor Swift on this show where I've been super excited to do so.
And
I mean that totally seriously. I'm super psyched about it. Look, a lot of people don't know who Elizabeth Cady Stanton is. But, like, people know who Taylor Swift is, right?
Right.
And it's like, if she goes through this, it normalizes his behavior, but it normalizes the behavior of going through it. And I think everybody can identify with her strength. And I think that's just awesome.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton, by the way, from New York, during the 19th century, she was a suffragist, an activist, and one of the very earliest leaders of the women's rights movement, just for those who don't know.
Contextualizing
is
important.
We have to explain that.
Hector?
I don't like her image. I don't like her music, but this was a coup. I mean, anybody who gropes is a pathetic individual, basically. I'm all for her. I don't think she's a feminist icon. It takes a lot more to be a feminist icon.
Okay, well then let me ask you an ancillary question, which is, could anyone besides Taylor Swift, any woman have won this case were they not Taylor Swift?
I think they could have won it, but I don't think they would have gotten the coverage that she got.
And I don't think the impact would have been as large. That's what it is. Her celebrity makes the impact that much more powerful. I'm sure there are plenty of women who go through this every day and who have to sit in courtrooms and defend their dignity every single day.
Or don't, because they're afraid of losing their jobs or position.
Right, that's true, and they don't. But then you have someone like Taylor Swift who could easily just, you know, brush it off and say, oh, I got my, you know, all my money and my coins and my celebrity. I'll just be, you know, whatever. He's just whatever. But she went through this and she didn't want any money from it. I loved what she did, how she did it. I don't think this makes her, you know, feminist, you know, bold letters, all caps. But this was amazing, and it was a win.
Would it have been different if she asked for real damages instead of a dollar?
Not necessarily.
No, I think it was more powerful that she didn't.
Actually, the symbolic dollar was a better feature.
Yeah.
It was.
I think I agree with that, too. But keep in mind that she was actually countersuing. Like, she was originally sued for tortious interference with contract, which was getting the guy fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was her countersuit to sort of prove exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she both reported the initial incident, and she did this effort. So she's not on feminist icon level yet, but I think that she's on that road.
Yeah. Coming from our lawyer. Well,
yeah.
Hector is adamant, but not. But we have like a minute left before we take a break. So you guys keep saying she's not a feminist icon. Who is? Let's go one by one. Natalie, who's a feminist icon?
Pass. I have to think about that.
Stefan.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Also Madonna.
Okay. Hector.
Natalie Merchant.
Ooh.
Natalie Merchant. Okay. Kalina.
My mother.
Oh, nice.
Your mom. Okay. Natalie?
I think Gloria Steinem, Hillary Clinton are the other things that come
to
mind.
I'm going to go with a notorious RBG.
Whoa.
Bader Ginsburg.
Very nice.
But we would love to get your nominations for Feminist Icon also. You know how to reach us. It's Friday. We're in the break room. We've got Natalie Pavelski with us, Hector Fernandez, Kalina Baller, and Stefan Turkheimer. Coming up, we'll talk about tensions with North Korea and Atlanta GM's no cop policy and how do you deal with the stress of this endless, never-ending news cycle? This is On Second Thought. I just want to celebrate. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. We're having coffee and some chat in the break room, as we do every Friday. My guests are Stephen Turkheimer, editor of Georgia Poll, Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications, Kalina Baller of the podcast The Credits, and Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University. Okay. One Atlanta gym owner is under fire for his membership policy. Jim Chambers runs Atlanta's Barbell Club. He does not want police officers there. He told 11 Alive News he sees this ban as a political statement.
We wanted one space that was just a little different. It's not a, you know, aggressive hetero jock space that's dominated by cops and soldiers. It's a place where you're safe from that. And we don't want to make police stronger so that they can hurt people more efficiently.
11 Alive also spoke about that policy with Atlanta police officer Vincent Champion. He's a member of the International Brotherhood of Police Officers. And he challenged Chambers to a fistfight for charity.
I don't understand why you would put a sign like that up at all. Without talking to the man, it just appears it's just hate for law enforcement. And for what reason? And, you know, are you doing something illegal? We will do our job. We've taken that oath to serve and protect.
Okay, should Jim Chambers be allowed to refuse service to cops and active military?
As a legal matter, yeah, he absolutely should. As an ethical or moral matter, I mean, he's going to have to face the consequences of it, which is probably public backlash. And has
yeah,
been.
He's gotten some death threats.
Yeah, well, he should continue working out then.
Death threats from the police?
Yeah, okay. I agree with exactly everything you just said. Maybe if he wants to do this, he's going to get backlash if he's going to keep this store open. If he's going to keep his business open. Maybe he should make this a private club if he's going to be doing something like that. Like, there are places where you have to have a membership and you have to meet certain criteria to get in. Maybe he wants to go that route as opposed to opening a business and say, oh, it's open for all except you guys or you left-handed people or you this, and you know, then it becomes all weird. And
it's not legal discrimination though, Stefan, if it's against a profession, right?
It's not, they're not a protected class. So therefore you can discriminate against them. It's kind of fun that way, but you're right. A private club would solve that problem by making it more of an entry situation.
I don't think he wants to solve that problem.
No, I don't think he does.
But I mean, if
she's
he wants
giving
to...
good advice here, yeah. Good business advice. This is more of a business to development part.
Right. Linda. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Hector and Natalie, you guys want to weigh in?
Hey, it's not against the Constitution. As long as it's not against the Constitution, it's fine. It's a business. He's going through profession. It's professionally oriented. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not illegal for me to, like, discriminate against people who wear New York Yankees hats.
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Those of you who can't see what's happening here.
Wait, he did say that he was trying to find a space or create a space that was not hetero. What does he say? Heteronormative.
Jock.
What? Yeah.
Not hetero. Jock something.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so he's basically trying to keep male cops out. What about, like, feminist lesbian cops? Like.
No.
Jock doesn't go that direction. Jock goes according to a different profile.
Yeah, Jock is non-gendered.
I agree. I thought his statement was leaning masculine,
Jim Chambers,
male. I
was just call like, your office. Weird. We need to have an answer to this question.
Yeah,
in the meantime, we asked for nominations for feminist icons, and the mayor of Smyrna nominates Ann Richards.
Oh, accepted. Accepted.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There you go.
Very
right.
Nice.
Let's move on. Speaking of ladies, a vegan cafe in Melbourne, Australia wants to close the wage gap between men and women.
What is this place?
Paradise. We built it during the Great Passive Aggression, when the females separated from the males due to their increasingly destructive behavior.
Okay, the cafe is called Handsome Hers, and they charge men more for their food and grant women priority seats. Equality, or is this reverse discrimination?
That's not reverse discrimination. That's silly. That seems silly to me.
You don't like it?
No. What? Just whatever. No.
What if they just charge cops more? Would you be
No, does it change?
Does it change when you know that
male
it's voluntary?
Cops. Male cops.
It's a voluntary policy.
Okay, if it's voluntary, okay.
And then the excess money goes into a fund.
So then people can say, oh, you know, I'm giving to a cause.
So
I'm
it's voluntary to pay more.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's voluntary.
The proceeds go to a women's charity.
Okay, I know this isn't important, but were the coffee prices before this, did they lower the price for women and raise the price for men? Or did they just raise the price for men?
You are asking the questions.
Right? I almost think...
Blessed are those who ask the questions.
Thank you.
I don't drink coffee. And I also do not believe in reverse discrimination, the label reverse discrimination.
You don't believe it exists.
He's a conscientious objector.
Discrimination is discrimination. I don't believe there's such thing as reverse. Discrimination doesn't have a single direction to it. You know, in whatever orientation it goes, it's discrimination, and something should be done about it.
If you reverse it, it's not.
Oh, I have a correction. Terry says, I am not the mayor, Ward 3 council rep, and mayor pro tem.
Mm-hmm. Ah. All right. Still, suggestion is valid.
Yes. Okay. Ann Richards still accepted, Terry. Okay, let's move on. Duke Robotics, which is a U.S. technology company, has created a drone that fires a machine gun and launches grenades by remote control.
Murder's a new trick for a robot.
Well, then I guess we're going to miss the good old days.
What good old days?
When people were killed by other people.
These drones are human-operated, and they say they will reduce military casualties because it cuts back on the number of ground troops. But critics warn it could easily be a danger to civilians, especially if there are illegal sales, and there probably would be. What do we think? What could possibly
probably
go wrong?
Probably would be. There will be. I mean, any chance for anybody to buy anything on the black market or do something illegal to make things easier and more convenient, it's going to happen. I feel like this is a movie. I feel like this is X-Men. This is the Sentinels. This is, you know, like this. This feels very, very strange to me. I don't like it.
Second Amendment extremism is bad enough as it is, and I don't want to extend it to machines. I mean, this is fine for me for duly authorized and trained law enforcement and military, but I mean, not for any idiot on the street who, or any idiot who walks into Walmart.
Or walks into a gym. Yeah, I mean, I think you're, I mean, you could be heading towards sort of property defense drones and those sort of things, which is I'm on your team here, guys. You don't have to yell. Which I think is an extremely dangerous situation. I mean, the use of deadly force should be incredibly restricted to people who are, I mean, you know, sort of duly authorized would be great. But I'm just saying that are at least making a decision about protecting themselves as opposed to protecting who knows what, a machine. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This will so go wrong. I mean, we can't stop it. It's going to happen. If I were the government, I would be putting money into research on something like a guided electromagnetic pulse to bring this drones down immediately, instantly, because this is going to happen.
Well, what if the drones are fighting other drones, like at Stone Mountain Park?
Well, it's selective frequencies, whatever. I don't know.
You mean like Robo Wars? Wasn't there a TV show?
This is a movie.
It's a movie, of course.
Would you like to take a selfie with this drone?
Okay, if you're just joining us, we are hanging out in the break room. We've got Kalina Bowler with us, Stefan Turkheimer, Natalie Pavelski, and Georgia State University professor Hector Fernandez. More recommendations for feminist icons. This one's from Kate Kent. Van Cantfort on Facebook. She says Oprah, Frida Kahlo, Malala Yousafzai, Michelle Obama, Harriet Tubman, and Alice Pauls, who was another early suffragist.
Oh my God, that's the full catalog.
Well, to be fair, she had more time to prepare.
I was going
to
say, she had time to prepare.
That's true.
Nobody was saying that she knew she was better than you, Stefan. It's not all about
that. I just feel like maybe we should pay the same amount for coffee.
It's not all about you, Stefan Turkheimer. All right. Moving on to a more serious topic, Peter Teft, he's one of the white supremacists from Charlottesville. In an editorial, his father, Pierce, announced he is disowning his son. The North Dakotan says he does not agree with the, quote, vile, hateful, and racist rhetoric and actions, unquote, of his 30-year-old son. So, would you do this? Would you be able to disown your kid if they joined a Nazi or white supremacist group? And would you announce it publicly?
Yes.
Yeah, man, why not? Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I'm kind of selfish anyway. So any excuse to eliminate...
Who has kids here?
Exactly.
People have kids. I mean, first of all, before you answer that, say, I have a kid. I mean, I would never be able to disown my kid. I'm like super dad.
But you can say you can disown him at any point. You can
re-own him
later.
I would never disown my kid. I mean, I love my kid too much. I know that. I mean, for a fact. And besides, my kid is way progressive. He's 17, so he has no space.
You're also saying that trusting that your kid would never change his opinions that way, right?
I know he will never change. If anything, he'll go in the other direction.
But I bet this dad felt the same way. Natalie, right. You have children.
I have a 4-year-old, and she's so innocent. It just breaks my heart to think I'll ever have to think about anything like
this. Well, where was she this weekend?
Oh, my God.
How old is your daughter?
4.
She's 4.
So innocent. Oh. So innocent.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's not so much about opinions that you garner for yourself and you gain as you become an adult. It's about your values, about core values. And families tend to raise their children with certain values. And at any point in time, a person of age should be able to decide whether or not those values are right for them. And if they are not going to go with those values and a parent decides they want to do it, sure, they can. Is it right for them to do it? It's, I guess that's up to, whoever is looking at that situation. Well, but, if a break in value.
I have a problem with the word values. That's a really loaded term.
Yeah, I like to use it. I mean, here's the thing about it. I cut people out of my life all the time because of things. I mean, for real.
But there is something about that parent-child bond that you would never give up hope. I don't think I could ever give up hope.
I think it would be different. I mean, we're mixed race, obviously, so it would be very weird if my son became a white supremacist. But it is something that, who knows? You might be surprised if anybody ever had to make that decision. We would love to hear from listeners. I wanted to mention that Kate Van Campfort just posted again on Facebook with an adorable photo of her 9-year-old daughter and says, "My 9-year-old named half those icons and is so excited to hear it on the radio."
What a wonderful child. You go, girl.
Don't disown her.
Okay, don't disown her. Okay, it's hard to believe. Just a week ago, we were talking about possible nuclear war with North Korea. That's because
this is old news.
President Trump described our military as locked and loaded.
And I will tell you this. North Korea better get their act together or they're going to be in trouble like few nations ever have been in trouble in this world.
Okay. I know it's hard to remember when this was a current concern, but do you support declaring war on North Korea?
Oh, God, no. I mean, my 4-year-old has better message discipline than our president, I'm afraid. I mean, this is a fit of macho posturing by somebody who is ignorant of world affairs and doesn't know how to keep his itchy fingers off Twitter. North Korea has had nukes for about a decade. The delivery system is advancing, and it needs to be, addressed in a serious way. But you don't just sort of get in a Twitter threat match over nuclear weapons. This is crazy. His own Secretary of State felt he had to come out and say, no, that's not what we really mean.
They don't really want to attack people. They just want to make sure that their regime keeps going. And so you can negotiate with them on that if that's what you really want to do. And the game for American diplomacy historically was always to let the other side save face and you get what you want. But now we're no longer letting people save face. We're actually in a worse negotiating posture than we've ever been. Mm. And so in North Korea, we can play brinksmanship with them, but their goals are not what we think their goals are. And so it's a difficult game for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, Mr. President, this is not acceptable behavior, if you get what I'm saying. No preemptive strikes, nothing. I mean, we shouldn't get into that.
I'm tired of North Korea, y'all. Like, let's just, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. My grandfather fought in the Korean War, mm-hmm. and, they are talking out the side of their neck, just doing whatever they're doing. The problem is we have a president that's doing the exact same thing. So something definitely has to be done. I don't know if it's a military something, but I'm just sick of it all, and, I need a break.
All right. Speaking of being sick of it all, we're going to talk about how you cope with the news. But first, I want to read a couple more nominations for Feminist Icon. Sam Burnham says, War Woman Nancy Hart, look her up. And then Chris Struthers says, Kathleen Hanna. And then Bitter Pill says, Mary Tyler Moore. That may sound shallow, but nothing brings people together more than comedy. Amelian Harper, true, by the way, backs the choice of Elizabeth Cady Stanton. All right. Before we end, let's face it. It is really hard. It is hard to break away from the news. It is hard to, when you do break away from the news, to come back 12 hours later and realize that a ton of stuff changed. So how are you coping?
Not well. I think I've gained the Trump 15 since Inauguration Day. The one thing that helps me is to very consciously turn off everything and spend time with my family. That's the one thing that resets my buttons. Or turn off everything and take a walk in nature.
Nature has been scientifically proven to be restorative. Hector, how do you?
I open a book and I go into a faraway land with no orange-haired, narcissistic, or, you know, immature bullies as characters, and then I'm ecstatic. I'm just fine.
Yeah, I actually agree with Natalie on this. Setting aside your devices is key. I actually hurt my eye this week, so I couldn't look at screens.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yeah, painful, but a blessing. And I missed, like, all the Barcelona coverage and all of that, and it was... And I think my Fitbit shows that my heart rate was lower because of it.
There you go. This is going to sound like I'm pandering or whatever, but I come to the break room. No, really, helps. Like having a space like this, that's something that Celeste, you and your team have brought together for people to come and safely discuss what's going on and have differing opinions and views and still be heard and to listen to other opinions and views. I think that is very healing for me. And I'm sure it's healing for, you know, the audience is listening. So thank you for this.
We'd like to prove that people of all different persuasions and politics can speak about things civilly and intelligently. So that said, if you are a listener and you have an opinion, we want to hear it. For example, how do you handle the stress of the news? What do you do to cope? Give some positive, constructive advice that other people might be able to use. You know how to do that. You can reach us on Facebook, tweet us at OST Talk, or just call and leave a message, 404-500-9457. We are out of time for the break room today. I want to say thank you to all of my guests. Kalina Baller is a location scout for the movies. She's also on the podcast, The Credits. Georgia Paul, editor and lawyer, Stefan Turkheimer. Natalie Pavelski of Cater Communications and Georgia State University professor, Hector Fernandez. Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.
You're a feminist icon, Celeste.
She is. Have a happy and safe eclipse. For today and the week, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.